Okay. Well, so what is verification? So verification, it's a kind of, it's basically comes from cryptographic protocol, but we use this to verify like result from quantum computer. So imagine like in the future we have like fully functioning quantum computer, and then we want to run some simulation that is important, like as Alexander said, we want to run fertilizer simulation, for example. And to simulate this fertilizer efficient simulation, basically it's nitrogen fixation, the amount of atom you need is equivalent with the amount of atoms on the ocean. So there is no way we can cross-check if quantum computer actually give you a correct result or it just gives you some rubbish, right? So in this verification, it actually gives you a way to give you some certificate. So you submit some quantum algorithm, and then we say we don't trust the quantum computer, and then it will give you the results that is like certified. So it kind of gives you a stamp. So after you run computation in this protocol, you will have some confidence in your results. So should I trust the results? Should I rerun this? Or maybe the quantum computer is just too much of errors. So this is verification. Okay. Yeah, so in more details, how does it look like? So it's run on something so-called measurement-based quantum computation. You saw already in the beginning there is this analog in the morning, and then there is a gate base, and this is another thing, so-called measurement base. So this measurement base, your quantum algorithm is described as a graph, basically. So this is my quantum algorithm, and you only need to specify some angles. So the graph and the angles is your quantum algorithm. And then in this verification protocol, so you run the same algorithms, basically the same graph, and then some of them are just some traps, basically some tests. So imagine this is just like a single measurement. So you run something and then you measure. And then it's just a single measurement. You will see like later like how significant is this, like how hard this is actually, because if you have quantum system, you can't tell what's going on in this quantum world, right? So what you do is you measure, so it means you collapse them into classical information, but if you only do it once, it tells you nothing. So you have to do it over and over, then it gives you a statistical output. So you need the statistics. So now in this protocol, for each single measurement, you need to do some randomness. So here you have, sometimes you throw tests, sometimes you do your computation, sometimes tests, so you keep doing this, throw this random dice, decide, should I test, should I compute, test, compute, you know, like over and over. And then statistically you will know, okay, it was like, it was rubbish, or it was like, it's good, I think, and you confidence with your result. Yeah. So in more details, so for example, this is how it looks like to run MBQC on graph with two nodes. So it's just like two nodes connected with one edge. And you run with this angle, I don't know, phi 0, phi 1. And in the language of the gates, it looks like this, basically. So this is if you do the computation on the top, and then this is if you do the test. Okay. So the crucial part here is like, you see like there is the red colors. They are like the randomness that you have to insert. And every time you do, before you do single measurement, you have to prepare like again fresh random numbers, and then you have to correct this. And then so you basically have to run randomly different circuits because it has different angles. Okay. Now, for the test, for example, in this case, then you should know what is the correct outcome. So here, if the outcome is zero, it means you pass the test, and otherwise it failed. So there is a theoretical bounds, and then you calculate if this percentage test pass, it means like it's a good result. So this is basically how it works. Now the problem is the common setups in the quantum software stacks, they don't have this single shot randomness. So it is very common, as far as I know, all of the software quantum software stack, it works like you submit your quantum algorithm, which is quantum circuit, and then you run it over and over the same thing, and then you calculate this, you get the statistic. So this, there is no random number generators that is provided, you know, on top of the quantum computer. So for example, here in this algorithm, the randomness that I did, like there is like at least 4 random number generators, so I have to decide if I want to compute or if I want to test. And then after that, there is this some coloring that you have to do. So this is another random dice. And then after that, for each node you saw, I also have to throw another random number, which is the angle. And then also I have to throw another random number, which is the bit. So there's so many random numbers. So this package is basically to accommodate all this randomness into this common framework. Okay. So what does it look like? It's a little bit hacky-wacky. So this is like, for example, if I just want to run these 2 nodes, and what you do is you need to have a lot of classical registers. So in the quantum algorithm, which is usually described as quantum gates, if it's one line, it's usually like a quantum information. If it's double lines, it means classical. So you already measure it or something like that. So here you need to, here we generate the randomness on the fly, which is like, basically one of the way is you see in the circle, you basically bring the qubits in superposition and then you measure. So you have this 50-50 chance to throw random bits. And then from that, you store all the necessary random number you need like when you run this framework. So there is some more details, like you need this circuit mid-circuit measurement. It means like you should be able to measure in the middle of the computation, and then you prepare again, and yeah. And then another thing you need is you need to be able to perform classically controlled rotation. So you see, like, it is basically our say, our way of saying if in the classical algorithm. Like, for example, if this is 0, then you don't run this. If this is 1, then you run this edge, something like that. So you have this several ifs there. So if all of them are 1, then you run this Rx theta. Okay. So it is cumbersome to keep in track of this. That's why this OCVQC, like, that's why we developed that. So how does it look like? This is, for example, I just want to run these 3 nodes, just run Z, apply Z gate, basically, just single gate. So what you do, you just, it's use something called graph circuit, and this graph circuit object has similar language as this MBQC that you saw. Yeah. And then this is actually a PyTicket circuit. So PyTicket is developed by Quantinuum now. And it's also hardware agnostic compiler. And it can interact with many packages. So it can interact with many compilers to quantum computers, for example, with IBM, IonQ, Honeywell, etc. And you just add the node and then at the edge and then measure just like this, and then the program will tell you the versions that you should run in the common framework. So it's like, it's hard to track, right? So it's just to run this 3 measurements, this is what you need. And then this PyTicket helps you to manage all these registers, basically. Yes, so we also demonstrated this on a real quantum computer. So we worked with the Quantinuum. So it was demonstrated on ion traps. So this is the ion traps looks like. It's from the Duke University. But it's kind of like floating ions physically. Okay. And yeah, we learned some algorithms. So for example, we tried this Grover quantum search algorithm. So this is like search algorithm that we have on the quantum algorithms people. And then we try to search all this data, and then all the results pass. So it works. So it means we know the answer, and then whenever it gives you when it gives you pass, the results are correct. So this is the certified result, basically. And we also run it on the larger graph. So we run to 52 nodes. So this is the largest MBQC ever performed on a quantum computer, basically. And then we know the answer should be, this is basically just a bunch of NOT gates. And it all gives you like a correct result whenever it passes. So I hope you learned something. That's thank you for listening. Have any questions? Yes.
Is there a feedback and reading?
Yeah, it was in the first page. Yes. Yeah, the QR code is the paper.
Okay.
I didn't tell. Yes.
So my understanding of one of the reasons we want to do verification is so that we gain some confidence in our machines, and so that when we take it to places where we cannot simulate. But it already looked like for doing a relatively small thing, you're already getting quite a large circuit. Is that right?
Yes, large graph.
Large graph.
Yes.
Okay. So when you ran on something like 20 qubits, what is the computational cost how does that scale?
No, I got distracted.
It's okay.
Yes.
How does the computational cost of doing verification scale in the number of qubits?
The number of qubits, how it scales. So this is still also an open question. So how many repetitions we need, randomness we need, we still need to explore this as well.
Cool. But it's a lot?
Like for this 52 nodes, we run like 1,000 shots only.
Okay.
It's actually not much. It's quite little. Yes.
What was the difference between the two quantum machines you tested it on? I saw in the graph that I went.
It's different algorithm. So one, yes, the Grover, this one, so this the algorithm is the 8 nodes, and then it actually only used 3 qubits. This is the algorithm, this one.
No, but I meant the blue line.
Sorry. This is one of them is run, the orange one is run on a quantum computer, and then the blue one is on a simulator.
Oh, yes. It's for the
Just to see, like, it's a noisy simulator, but to see how it performs, like, yes.
And special reason why you see on the tau to the quantum computer perform better?
I don't know, so, yeah. See, sometimes it's better, partly. Yes. Oh no, actually, this is a test failure rate, so it's more failure. It's not better.
Yeah, but in
this this one, I think it's, I don't know, but majority is more failure. Yes.
Broader question, like as a researcher having to write quantum software, what are some of the things that you struggled with in writing this package, and you know, what tools did you maybe wish were there but weren't?
So there are so many choices of the packages. I think the hardest part is like, again, like different language again and again, you know, like, and I can understand like each vendors write their own language, basically their own package. So that was, it's just like learning new ones. And then what wasn't, what's the difficult part? Yeah, like, basically, for example, if I'm working with the company, they also have some confidentiality. Like, for example, we try to make a research protocol, and then can you tell us this, can you tell us that? You know, and some information is not open, right? Especially if it's real hardware.
But not necessarily like they're they're restricting you from publishing certain data, just like you don't know all the information of what's happening on the device.
Yeah, so we have to ask permission first before we publish the data. Yes. But I think it's everywhere. Yeah, developing or maintaining package is also a lot of time. And if you do research, which is full time at the same time, it is quite a lot of work. And especially people asking for documentations, you know, like, I don't have time to do that, you know. I think that's...
It's just you on this project? This
was mostly done. There are other people, basically. Sorry? How did we test the packages? Well, we test on the real quantum computer and then emulator, and then it shows the correct results, basically. And anyway, we, you know, like if you saw, it's not much of a, it's like you build this circuit, which is already the object of PyTicket, and in PyTicket, there are a lot of developers, so we are quite sure that it should be correct. You kind of know, like, do some tests, and you know already the output, how it's supposed to be. And then if they pass, then you kind of, like, I think it's, yeah. And especially this one, there's only not so many commands, because the basic gates are only the preparing the nodes, and then do this edge, and then measure. So they only like few, you know, few commands, and then the rest we give it to the PyTicket. Like the circuit is running correctly. Any other question? Thank you.
Thank you.